There are three things that I'd like to speak about this morning, and I tell you three things so that you don't think, when is he going to end this sermon? First thing, today is the feast of St. Cecilia. St. Cecilia was an early virgin martyr. She died in 177 AD. And the beautiful thing about her life and death is that she was very, very wealthy, rich, very elegant, very beautiful, but she was very much in love with Christ and very dedicated to her faith. She was caught by the Roman authorities burying those who had been put to death, Christians who had been put to death, and she was found to be a Christian, and they were sentencing her to death. But because she was so a beautiful and dignified woman, they did not want to do it publicly. It would be bad PR, bad for public relations. So they tried to execute her in her home. And when their first attempt to suffocate her did not work, they took a sword. One of the Roman soldiers took a sword, and he was about to hit her, and then he started to hesitate, and he couldn't do it, and he hit her in the neck. And three times he struck her in the neck, but didn't quite go all the way through. And according to Roman law, you can only hit a person three times when you're trying to execute them, and then you have to stop. So St. Cecilia lay there, bleeding to death in her own home. And the beautiful thing is that many, many, many centuries later, when they were removing her from the catacombs to the church where she's going to be at, and then later on to a greater part of the basilica, they found her body to be incorrupt. They opened up the marble sarcophagus, and the original wood coffin that she was in was still intact. And when they opened it up, they found that her hands were in a certain position. She had one hand down with three fingers and another hand down with one finger. She was professing one God, and three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the amazing thing is that after many, many hundreds and hundreds of years, her body was still incorrupt. The cardinal who was in charge, before they finally sealed it, the Pope had ordered that for a month people could come and witness this miracle and see her body, incorrupt body. But then they finally, that month expired, they were finally going to seal her coffin again, her sarcophagus. The cardinal wanted a little remembrance of her, so he took a little bit of her silk dress to snip it, and when he pulled it down just a little bit to take a cut, he found that underneath her silk dress was a hair shirt, like sackcloth. So even though St. Cecilia lived in great elegance and wealth, she also did penance. And she used her position to help the early church out. So St. Cecilia, she's noted, she's the patron saint of those who are into the organ music and music in general. But let us remember, when we think of our Catholic faith, we think of those who went before us, and especially the early church. They sacrificed everything for their faith. Second thing I want to read or mention is that, as you know, this is the last Sunday of Pentecost. Next Sunday starts the holy season of Advent. The whole church year is centered around the life of Christ. So as we begin the new church year, we begin with the 4,000 years before the coming of Christ, from Adam and Eve to the coming of Christ, noted by the four Sundays of Advent. And when we think of this Sunday, the last Sunday of Pentecost, the end of another ecclesiastical year, the church brings before our minds the end of the world. Will there be an end of the world? Yes, there will be. And the amazing thing is this. If you go to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24, Jesus was answering two questions. The apostle said to Jesus, look at the temple, look at these beautiful buildings. And Jesus said, Amen, I say to you, these will be destroyed, there would not be left a stone upon a stone. And then the apostles asked Jesus two questions. When will this happen, the destruction of Jerusalem? And when is the end of the world? So our Lord is answering basically two questions. And he's telling about what will precede the destruction of Jerusalem, but also what will precede the end of the world. Now, when we think of the end of the world, let's remind ourselves of this. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. But that doesn't mean that our Lord has not told us to look at the signs of the times. Our Lord didn't tell us those things for nothing. We read of in sacred scripture, and scripture scholars tell us that there will be four things that will precede the end of the world. The gospel will be preached to all nations. It will be spread throughout the world. Secondly will be the apostasy, the great falling away. And in my mind, when I see what's happened since Vatican II within the Catholic Church, there's no doubt in my mind that is the apostasy. In the 1960s, they came up with a council, Vatican Council II, that introduced doctrines that were completely condemned and completely refuted by previous popes and councils. We have especially this issue that God, Almighty God, has revealed one true religion through Jesus Christ. And Christ founded one church, the Catholic Church. And true ecumenism is the church is converting the world to Christ, converting the world to his one true church. False ecumenism is the idea that we recognize all the religions of the world. At Vatican II, as we've told you before, they started praising the Hindus. Praising the Hindus, these people who worship false gods. Praising the Buddhists, who don't even believe in God. Praising the Muslims. Muslims that follow Muhammad, don't believe in a Holy Trinity, don't believe in the divinity of Christ. Since when did the Catholic Church ever praise false religions? Never. We pray for their conversion, we work for their conversion, but Vatican II came up with a completely different doctrine to recognize, acknowledge, preserve, and promote the good in these other religions, and to recognize them. That is utterly false. As Pope Pius XI said, those who promote false ecumenism is equivalent to apostasy. This is not rocket science. Very, very basic. Against the first commandment of God. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And this modern church, so-called Catholic Church, has apostatized. But that's not the only thing. And you've known this before and heard this before, and I'm going to make this real quickly. But when we think of the man who calls himself the Pope Francis, and he's telling in his apostolic exhortation, adulterers can go to communion, this is preposterous. When he says he recognizes same-gender civil unions, he thinks that's good. Who does he think he's kidding? This is bizarre. The man who's supposed to be head of the church does not know the six commandments of God. And some people say, well, he's the Pope, he didn't know. No. This is divine law, God's law. And we know that if someone denies the faith, as Pope Pius XII said, there's among all the sins that are even the most serious, there's one sin that severs you from the church, and that is the sin of heresy. When you profess publicly, when you blatantly profess publicly and manifestly false teachings and heretical beliefs, you are no longer a Catholic. This man had not ever been a Catholic to begin with, even supposedly before his supposed election. He's a fraud, he's a phony, he's destroying the church from within. No doubt about that. And not only that, but he's working hand in hand with civil or secular elements to bring about world government they're talking about in the coming year, 2021, the reset, the great reset. And they're going to use the COVID pandemic as an excuse to try to reset the whole world. You know what's scary about this whole pandemic thing? How quickly all the worlds, all the nations of the world have fallen into place. I'm not saying that the pandemic, you know, that people do get sick, people do die. But if you look at the statistics, I mean, so many people die every year of the flu. So we're not minimizing the issue that people get sick. But there's no reason why the healthy majority of population of people should be quarantined and restricted and all that stuff. Protect the elderly, protect those who are compromised health-wise, protect them. But for most people, and you look at the statistics, the death rate is very, very low. And the problem is that this is just being used as a reason to create, I would say, economic stress. And not only that, but program people to control them more and more. And the powers to be, George Soros, the billionaire, George Soros, Bill Gates, they're talking about the Great Reset and the mandatory vaccination that everyone should have. Doesn't look good, but let's remember this. We live our faith. We try to do the best that we can to stay close to God, because you know what? Bottom line is that it doesn't matter what happens. There's certain things we can control, certain things we can't control. But what we can control, we need to control. Live a good life, stay close to God, live our faith, be in a state of sanctifying grace, receive the sacraments, prayers. That's what we can control, that's what we need to do. I'd also like to end on this note here. I said I was going to talk about three things. Third thing is this. If there's anything that, as you get older, you learn, is that time is short. It is very, very short. How quickly time goes by, like zip. And how important it is that we use our time well. The end of the world comes when we die. It doesn't matter about trying to figure out this and that, whatever else. As I said, our Lord gave us these signs for us to be sober and watchful and careful and realize what's going on. But the end of the world comes when we die, and we know not the day nor the hour. And that's the reason why, when all these things happening in the world, it's very concerning, yes, but let us not act and live as if we have no hope. Everything is in the hands of God, and so are we, and God will never abandon us. Our Blessed Mother, she has told us, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. Let's go to God and realize, as it says in the Psalms, those who trust in God, those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Sinai. They won't be shocked, they won't be moved, they won't be shaken, etc. And our Blessed Mother ever crushes the head of Satan. Because the bottom line is this, you know, it's not the Republicans against the Democrats, and it's not the liberals against the conservative, it's not that, it's God and the Blessed Virgin Mary against Satan. That's the bottom line. Souls. That's why we're here on earth, to get to heaven. And the battle is for souls. So let's never forget what life is all about. Life is short. Let's use our time well. And remember, let's remember this. We know not the day nor the hour. Let us always, always, always be ready to stand before God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.